If I had walked in one of my children's bedrooms and seen this child predator targeting my children, I would become unglued.
The thought that any of us are out here to harm children rather than to foster their imagination and creativity is honestly shameful and disgusting on her part.
I'm living proof that introducing your kids to the gay agenda might result in them growing up to be governor.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Brian DeShazer. Trinidad and Tobago's appeal court outlaws queer sex again. A MAGA mouthpiece vexes Lil Miss Hot Mess, and Illinois' Governor J.B. Pritzker calls for aggressive progressives. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Ren.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 29, 2025. Same-gender sex is against the law in Trinidad and Tobago again. The Caribbean nation's High Court had called provisions of the Sexual Offenses Act irrational and illegal in 2018 when it overturned those laws. The government appealed, and on March 25th, Court of Appeal Justices Nolan Barreau and Charmaine Pemberton concluded that judges cannot change the law. The High Court ruling had said the laws banning private consensual adult activity violate constitutional guarantees of privacy and freedom of expression. However, the two prevailing appeal court justices agreed with the government's argument that only Parliament can overturn those statutes. The lone dissenter of the three-judge panel was Justice Vashishth Kokaram. Trinidad's Daily Express reported that Kokaram thought the government's appeal should have been dismissed. While the appeals court has made same-gender sex a crime again, it lowered the original penalty from 25 years in prison to 5. Jason Jones filed the original challenge to the British colonial-era laws in 2017. He's a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago who currently lives in the UK. Jones condemned this week's appeals court decision, posting on social media, "This regressive judgment has ripped up my contract as a citizen of TNT and again makes me an unapprehended criminal in the eyes of the law." In his words, the justices have effectively put a target on the back of LGBTQIA+ people and made us lower-class citizens in our own country. Jones vows an appeal to the Privy Council, a UK appellate court for British territories that also consider cases from Commonwealth countries like Trinidad and Tobago.
Six European countries are warning their transgender and non-binary citizens to beware of traveling to a Trump-ruled United States. The governments of Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, the Netherlands, and the United Kingdom cite the administration's edict that there are only two legal genders, male and female. The U.S. State Department has removed the option of an X gender marker on U.S. passports for trans and non-binary people. Therefore, foreign travelers whose government IDs do not reflect their birth gender could face serious obstacles to entering the country. The European travel advisories urge citizens to check with U.S. embassies in advance. The Trump policy could discourage tourists who want to visit the District of Columbia for World Pride later this year from entering the country. Trans or non-binary athletes planning to compete in the 2028 Olympic Games in Los Angeles could also be targeted. The door can apparently swing both ways, however. Canada's leading queer organization, EGAL, says its members will not be attending World Pride or any other U.S. event. The pro-LGBTQ+ African Human Rights Coalition is calling for a boycott of World Pride in protest of the antagonistic fascist regime.
The Trump administration's war on wokeness is spreading from starving children in Africa to starving science in Australia. U.S. officials have now pulled funding for research projects at 7 universities in Australia because of their policies encouraging diversity, equity, and inclusion. A 36-question survey went out to the Australian researchers soon after Trump's January inauguration. It inquired about steps taken to protect women and to defend against gender ideology. It also asked about addressing what it called Christian persecution. In announcing the funding cuts, a U.S. government memo warned, "The use of federal resources to advance Marxist equity, transgenderism, and Green New Deal social engineering policies is a waste of taxpayer dollars." Australia's Department of Education confirmed that the funding cuts affect the Australian National University, Monash University, the University of Technology Sydney, the University of New South Wales, Charles Darwin University, Macquarie University, and the University of Western Australia. According to the Sydney Star Observer, the total in lost funding approaches $600 million. Education Minister Jason Clare defended the lauded international reputation of Australian research universities. He said, "Ultimately, the U.S. will fund the research it wants to fund, but we will continue to make the case to the U.S. that collaborative research benefits both U.S. and Australia's interests." Australia's National Tertiary Education Union President Alison Barnes called the actions blatant foreign interference in Australia's independent research. In her words, "Donald Trump's hateful agenda is racist, transphobic, and misogynistic. The idea of research funding being tied to any of these values is sickening."
A preliminary injunction continues to halt the Trump administration's ban on transgender military service. U.S. District of Columbia Court Judge Ana Reyes heard the government's emergency motion to lift the injunction last week, but reinstated it on March 26. That was the deadline the Pentagon had set for trans service members to voluntarily leave the armed forces. The reinstated temporary injunction prevents the discharge of active duty transgender service members and the refusal to consider otherwise qualified trans enlistees. Trump administration lawyers claimed that the expulsions only affect enlistees with gender dysphoria, but Reyes has called that a distinction without a difference. She wrote, "The order affects only one group of people. All persons with gender dysphoria are transgender, and only transgender persons experience gender dysphoria." Reyes further concluded that the Pentagon's anti-trans policy was based on anti-trans animus and likely violates plaintiffs' Fifth Amendment rights.
A second preliminary injunction is also barring enforcement of Trump's efforts to expel trans troops from the military. U.S. District Judge Benjamin H. Settle of the Western District of Washington State announced his ruling on March 27th. He agrees with District Court of Columbia Court Judge Ana Reyes that the anti-trans policy is probably unconstitutional. Meanwhile, on March 24th, a federal judge in New Jersey granted a temporary restraining order to stop two U.S. Air Force discharges. The Pentagon has been trying to boot Master Sergeant Logan Ireland and Staff Sergeant Nicholas Bear Bade. After serving with distinction for years, the two airmen were recently removed from their posts and placed on involuntary administrative absence. U.S. District Judge Christine P. O'Hearn wrote that Ireland and Bade were both likely to succeed in challenging the ban and to prove the risk of irreparable harm, including loss of career, damage to their reputations, and violation of their constitutional rights. All these federal court rulings combine to keep transgender U.S. service members from being forced out of the military, at least for now.
Finally,
this was going to be stripped away from us, but, you know, luckily we fought the good fight. We spoke our word like we needed to.
Texas A&M University's embattled March 27th drag show went on after a federal judge upheld its constitutional free speech protections. Houston-based U.S. District Judge Lee Rosenthal ruled on March 24th against the university's ban on drag performances. Rosenthal wrote, "To ban the performance from taking place on campus because it offends some members of the campus community is precisely what the First Amendment prohibits." U.S. District Judge Matthew Kaczmarek of anti-abortion fame had backed the ban 2 years ago. He claimed it contained sexualized content that could be more regulated than other forms of speech. The sponsoring student group, the Queer Empowerment Council, appealed the case last year, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear it. In the current ruling, Judge Rosenthal rejected the university's argument that allowing the show on campus could jeopardize federal funding due to the Trump administration's rejection of what it calls gender ideology. She said that allowing the event does not imply the university's endorsement of it. The Queer Empowerment Council was represented by the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, or FIRE. FIRE attorney Adam Steinbaugh called it a resounding victory for the First Amendment at public universities in Texas. He said, state officials should stop trying to score political points at the expense of students' First Amendment rights. Texas A&M's grand production is called Draggyland, for drag and Aggie, the school nickname. The highlight was, of course, the crowning of the queen. Contest winner Maria Maria addressed her subjects saying,
drag is art, drag is love, the message is love, and that is what we spread, and that is just all that it is to it.
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending March 29th, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in the ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Rhett. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
I won't continue to advocate that we wage a conventional political fight when what we really need is to become street fighters.
A rabble-rousing governor rallies the troops. But first, conservatives in the U.S. Congress are once again set on dismantling publicly funded media. Under the Trump administration, the right's reality is even more threatened by community broadcasters, where honest truth and LGBTQ plus voices are heard with the support from the public broadcasting system and National Public Radio. PBS and NPR's funding was the subject of a House committee hearing on March 26th. One rabid Republican representative tried to drag the proceedings into a little hot mess, but a California Democratic congressman queered her line of questioning. This Way Out correspondent Lauren Schmidt has the story.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, a vehemently anti-queer activist and federal lawmaker, fired shots at PBS and NPR, two pillars of public media. Greene seeks to defund these institutions, which serve as critical infrastructure in our country, known for educating and inspiring without corporate or political agenda. Although the hearing was supposed to focus on media, Green took the opportunity to once again express her deep homophobia and ignorance about Drag Story Hour.
As a mother, if I had walked in my living room or one of my children's bedrooms and seen this child predator and this monster targeting my children, I would become unglued.
As Green shared her anti-queer and anti-trans views, she held up a poster as a prop, featuring a photo of a drag queen used without permission. That drag queen was Lil Miss Hot Mess, who would become an icon of queer resistance overnight. An author, storyteller, and board member of Drag Story Hour, Lil Miss Hot Mess holds a PhD from New York University and works as a professor. I had the opportunity to speak with Dr. Lil Hot Mess just hours after Green's public attack.
I woke up to a bunch of texts and messages across social media of friends alerting me to the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene had held up this honestly beautiful headshot of myself in this hearing while she was attacking PBS and NPR and other public media. She certainly did not get my permission. She also showed a video of me that I had created as part of a performance for a series on a local PBS affiliate. She did not get permission to show that either. Folks like Marjorie Taylor Greene and her colleagues in the Republican Party have frequently attacked me, have attacked other members of Drag Story Hour, of drag and LGBTQ communities more broadly. So while it's deeply disappointing to have to listen to her disingenuous and hate and disinformation, at the end of the day, I'm sadly not surprised.
Representative Green labeled you and other drag performers as child predators.
I really have no words for it. You know, the thought that any of us are out here to harm children rather than to, you know, celebrate them, educate them, you know, foster their imagination and creativity is honestly shameful and disgusting on her part. In many ways, and unfortunately, what we're seeing is just a recycling of the same tired old playbook by the right. It's taken on new forms, it's taken on new flavors. They've, in many ways, Mainstream Republican politicians have aligned themselves with even further and further right forces, including white supremacists, literal neo-Nazis, you know, many other really dangerous fundamentalists that have really come into the center of the Republican Party. I think it is also part of this desire to defund and literally tear apart the structures of public institutions that benefit so many people, and especially, you know, lower income working class people in this country. And I also think it's a broader attack on just a general sense of imagination and critical thinking. You know, I think that they want us to obey, they want us to feel scared so that we feel compelled to. And this is the kind of rising authoritarianism that we're seeing rising very quickly in this country right now in this second Trump presidency. And it's very scary. And so I do like to say, you know, while I don't think that attacks on drag performers are necessarily the most pressing issue in the country right now, I also don't think they're a complete distraction either. It's all part of the same playbook. And it's all part of, again, making us afraid, weakening us, and making us fear each other.
I also want to note, you are a professor and hold a PhD from NYU. And now to see you being targeted in a congressional hearing that's supposed to be about institutions like public media, institutions that bring us the news, do you see a connection there?
Yes. In many other times and places where, you know, various forms of fascism have taken hold, they do target educators, intellectuals, artists, all sorts of cultural workers. What I think is a little bit funny in this case is, you know, I don't think she realized who she is messing with. I always love to quote the great Sylvia Rivera, who said, "Hell hath no fury like a drag queen scorned." And I'll just say, I'm feeling pretty scorned right now and ready to step into the ring. Drag performers, we are loud. We know how to organize crowds, make people happy, make people listen to us. We've been, you know, part of a lot of major social movements in the LGBT community and beyond. So if they think we're going anywhere, they have another thing coming. We are going to keep lip syncing, keep reading to kids, keep twirling, and keep shining.
While she didn't have the opportunity to defend herself during the congressional subcommittee meeting, she wasn't without allies. Long Beach, California, Congressman Robert Garcia, who is young, Latino, and openly gay, didn't let Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments go unchecked. Using sharp political satire, he condemned her attacks and voiced strong support for public media and the queer community.
Is Elmo now, or has he ever been, a member of the Communist Party of the United States? A yes or no?
No.
Now, are you sure, Ms. Kerger? He also has a very dangerous message about sharing and helping each other. He's indoctrinating our kids that sharing is caring. Now, maybe he's part of a major socialist plot, and maybe that's why the chairwoman is having this hearing today. An important question, are Bert and Ernie part of an extreme homosexual agenda?
No.
Thank you, Ms. Kerger, and thank you for being a good sport. Now, I'm obviously using some humor here. The majority and our chairwoman should drop this attempt to silence media voices they don't like. So the message I think today is very, very simple. If we're gonna get rid of any puppeteers, we should get rid of the one that's actually controlling Donald Trump. Fire Elon Musk and save Elmo. And with that, I yield back.
Public media has secured congressional funding through 2027. However, its future remains uncertain due to the potential signing of an executive order. Reporting for This Way Out from Humboldt County in California, I'm Lauren Schmidt.
Lil Miss Hot Mess has a new book coming out in May titled Make Your Own Rainbow, A Drag Queen's Guide to Color. Her website is lilhotmess.com.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Power to the people. Power to the people.
One of the speakers at the star-studded Human Rights Campaign's annual Los Angeles dinner on March 22nd was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. The Democratic firebrand has become a leading alpha liberal, advocating for aggressive opposition to Republican authoritarianism. Here are some highlights from Pritzker's passionate address.
I first got my start in activism right here in the state of California. As a little kid growing up in Silicon Valley in the 1970s, my mother was an activist for reproductive rights and LGBTQ rights. And she took me to pride parades back when, well, they weren't really parades, they were protests. So I have to laugh when I hear the right wing carry on about the dangers of exposing kids to trans people or same-sex couples, because I'm living proof that introducing your kids to the gay agenda might result in them growing up to be governor. Now, my mother marched and fought at a time when the advances in LGBTQ rights of the last 20 years would have been unthinkable. But she understood something important about the legacy that we leave our children, that the greatest thing that a parent can do for the next generation is plant seeds of freedom in the hopes that their kids are able to one day take refuge in the shade of a fully grown tree. What is so dangerous about the moment that we find ourselves in today is that we're watching the most vile and cruel people in our country take an axe to the trees planted and nurtured by the most courageous of Americans. For 10 years, ever since Donald Trump descended that ridiculous gold escalator to announce his entrance into the political world, I hoped that the Republican Party would seek out and find its better angels. Hope is a delicate and wonderful thing, a seed that we should never stop planting. But I won't let hope be a blindfold. And I won't continue to advocate that we wage a conventional political fight when what we really need is to become street fighters. Now, let me be clear, the Trump administration and his Republican lackeys in Congress are looking to reverse every single victory this community has won over the last 50 years. And right now, it's drag queens reading books and transgender people serving in the military. But tomorrow, it's your marriage license and your job they want to take. Bending to the whims of a bully will not end his cruelty. It will only embolden him. The response to authoritarianism isn't acquiescence. Bullies respond to one thing, and one thing only, a punch in the face. At its core, what Elon Musk and Donald Trump are doing isn't about efficiencies or cost savings. It's about giving their wealthy friends a tax break and making the middle class and veterans and public school kids pay for it. Meanwhile, the scariest part is that they're using the power of the presidency to try to delight their base by targeting vulnerable people, people they think can't fight back, calling them domestic enemies, or claiming they'll ruin American culture. Remember their slogan, "Make America Great Again." Authoritarians target vulnerable minority communities first because they think that if they can conquer those that they deem weak, and they can show everyone else who's boss. Which is why we can't sit back right now and wait to see what happens. If we wait, I guarantee you the battle will have already been lost. Donald Trump cannot take anything from us that we don't choose to give him. The question I get asked most right now is, so what can I do? What can I do? And I'm going to be blunt about this. Never before in my life have I called for mass activism, but this is the moment. Take to the streets, protest, show up at town halls. Jam the phone lines in Congress, 202-224-3121, and afford not a moment of peace to any elected representatives who are aiding and abetting Musk and Trump's illegal power grab. This is not a drill, folks. This is the real thing. Seize every megaphone you have. Go online and make a donation to the legal funds fighting Trump. When my future grandkids look back on this moment, I want them to know that my voice was one of the loudest in the room, screaming for justice and fighting against tyranny. And in the midst of this existential fight, this battle that seems to consume everything, well, let's not take the soul-sucking path of sacrificing the most persecuted for that which we deem to be most popular. I know that there are transgender children right now looking out at this world and wondering if anyone is going to stand up for them and for their simple right to exist. Well, I am. We are. We will. I know that amidst the ongoing assault on our institutions, it is easy for people to fall into despair about our democratic system. But I love this country too much not to fight for it. You're here tonight because you do too. When we say history repeats itself, it's not because the villains and battles don't evolve with the ages. They do. But the fight itself remains elemental. It's always men who would be king, blaming the suffering of the masses on those who look different or sound different or live differently. And since the dawn of time, the triumph of good over evil has relied on those who believe in empathy and kindness, summoning the steel spine needed to defend those values that by their nature leave us vulnerable to attack. This community knows that. You have lived and breathed this fight for generations. Our hope lies in this room. The fact that we are still here today means that we have the faith and courage that we will win the battles that really matter. Now, when I first ran for governor in 2018, I started every single stump speech by saying, and this will tell you why Donald Trump doesn't like me very much. I said at the beginning of every stump speech, everything we care about is under siege by a racist, misogynist, homophobic, xenophobic Donald Trump. And I ended every single speech with a question to the crowd. Are you ready for the fight? So here we are again. Everything we care about is under siege. And so I guess I just have one question for all of you tonight. Are you ready for the fight? Are you ready for the fight? Let's go get him, everybody! Let's go get him!
That was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker at the Human Rights Campaign's annual Los Angeles dinner. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions, Inc. News Wrap was reported this week by Rhett and Marcus Nafra and produced by Brian DeShazer. Our correspondent was Lauren Schmidt. The Pet Shop Boys and John Lennon performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon, associate producer Lucia Chappelle, and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Brian DeShazer. Thanks for listening. Online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And on WBSU, Brockport, New York, 2BMI, Griffith, New South Wales, KFGM, Missoula, Montana, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.